I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. As a local pantry that has served the Hemet and San Jacinto Valley for over 60 years, the goal of Valley Community Pantry is to provide essential food services to vulnerable populations, including seniors, veterans, and single-income households. But they need the community's help so that they can continue to offer these services to food insecure people. Here to tell us more is Jim Leinberger, Executive Director for Valley Community Pantry. Thank you for joining me.
We appreciate it. Thanks for inviting us. I always like to come to events like this just to share about who we are and what we do.
Well, start by telling us what this phrase that we hear so often, food insecure, what does that mean?
I'd like to go back to when I was a kid. I didn't know about food insecurity, but I remember when I was 6 and 7 coming home those 2 years and having a bunch of food in our kitchen. And I don't remember if my mom said we won a raffle or not, but as I got older, I realized we were struggling financially, and that was food from the local PTA. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had nothing to do with, you know, any kind of food banks or pantries or something until 2011. I left a ministry of 30 years that my wife and I started called Lamrata Christians in Action, where we would help the homeless. But then we moved to the Hemet area, and then somehow I got involved with the pantry. And we don't realize as we grow up and go through as kids to adults about what food insecurity is. Many, many people don't eat. 8 years ago, when I got involved with the San Jacinto School District, we found out 50-something percent of the kids only ate what they got at school. So that would be one meal. Now the school districts are doing 2 meals, but they didn't have food on the weekends. So a lot of us grow up in life not knowing what food insecurity is. Now, as I've been running the pantry for 14 years, the last 3-4 years, maybe during COVID, during that time, we realized what's really going on out there. How many people are not eating, especially not just our kids, but our senior population. These seniors will not ask for help. They're too prideful. They don't know where to go. And we're running into neighbors calling us, telling us about people with no food. And then when we drop it off, it's sad. It's sad. It's like movies you see where they open up the fridge and the cupboard, nothing there. Folks, this is what we're living with now, at least in our area. And I think this is all over the country. So food for people to eat is very scarce. We're not the only food pantry out there. We're all struggling to get food. We're all struggling to feed the number of people that we do. And it's also hard, even if we have grant money, to find the food in bulk. So warehouses are scarce in food compared to what it used to be. So it's something that we have to, as we are friends and neighbors and stuff, to realize what is our next door neighbors dealing with in terms of not just paying the bills, but with food. It's sad out there, and we really don't have a clue on what's going on.
Tell us about Valley Community Pantry. What services do you offer and to who?
The Community Pantry started in 1965. It was a small group, but in 1991, they turned it into a nonprofit corporation because of the need. It's always been a food pantry. Now, a lot of people call us a food bank, but keep in mind a food bank is those that serve the pantries, and the pantries are the ones that serve the people. So we've been giving out food since that time frame. That's the majority of what we do. We also, when we get certain grants, or sometimes we'll get the community, people in the community to donate money, and they may want it to go to senior services or something. So we do provide rental assistance, utility assistance. And what I do once in a while with our senior population is if they need prescriptions filled or they need gas cards, we will do that. Now, that's on a very small scale, but it's just to help out the seniors in need. So real quick, we started when I took over in 2011, they were only allowed to come in, our clients, because it was so big, three times a year. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a year. This is all we could handle back then. Then when I took over, we bumped it to four, then we went to six times a year. And then during COVID, which was our most stressful time, we increased it to 12 times a year for, I'm going to say, people under 60. And then 60 and over, they came twice a month. So we've increased the services, but these folks need food twice a week, which we're trying to get to, but it's just, it's hard.
Approximately how many people do you serve each year?
They come in cars, okay, and we have them park in the parking lot. We've changed this since COVID, but we have an average of almost three people per family. So we do about 1,000 cars a month. So we're doing about 3,000 people a month. Now, keep in mind, we get about 150 new clients a month, but a lot of these are returning clients that still have no food or income.
What are the qualifications for someone to receive services?
Because we're a nonprofit and we get grant money from the government, we do have an intake process. It's pretty simple, but the sad part is the clients we serve think it's crazy. It's too much work. We ask for an application of who you are, where you live, how many's in your family. We ask for Social Security and driver's license, which is all confidential, but sometimes there's a lot of duplication going on. Mm. And we ask for your income. Now, the income we don't care about. Anybody who comes for food, we feed them. The income is used to show the government what the poverty level is, so that we hopefully will get more grant money. You do that once a year, the first time you come in, and every January we recertify. It's not asking much, but it's sometimes very hard for these people to understand, and we do have issues about it, but we stick with our guidelines because that's the way it's been for 60 years.
And do you feel like someone who is going to take the time to fill out this application, that's someone who probably really needs food, right?
And that's true. And I'll be honest, there's some that need the food that don't want to fill it out. And I've learned over the years to realize these are people that are struggling mentally, spiritually, financially. And when they come in, we know they need the food, but they have to fill it out. And I've over the years done exceptions, which I don't do anymore, because exceptions, if I can use this phrase, bite you in the butt. And I've taught my volunteers, no more exceptions. As we don't do exceptions, people are more understanding and we get a better result on turning in the paperwork. There are some entitlement, I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't like always sharing that, but there's entitlement that don't need it. They feel that because they're entitled, they don't have to fill out paperwork, but I stick to my guns. This is a procedure. You want it? Great. If not, here's some other agencies you can go to.
I'm speaking with Jim Leinberger, Executive Director for Valley Community Pantry in Hemet. Is there someone who has received services from the pantry who really stands out to you?
There's a couple of stories. There's so many. I don't deal a lot with the clients. I like my volunteers too, for two reasons. I'm not always there. But I want the clients to understand no matter who helps them, they have the authority to make decisions. I don't want them thinking this person is a low level that you want to speak to the boss. So I don't deal a lot. But there's two families. One is a family of 11 and they work. But imagine feeding 11 kids nowadays. And they come in, they're very respectable. They do everything they need. They come to volunteer when they can. They come, you know, twice a month when they need be. But just their attitude and their mentality, and they've always said if they ever make it big, the pantry's first thing on their list. So that's one thing to show people. We not only serve individuals, but now lately in the last year and a half, we're doing 10, 11, 12, 13 people in a family. Then there's another story that I'm going to tell you. Lindy, who's my operations gal, did. I didn't meet this lady, but it was a senior, came up to Lindy and asked if we had toilet paper. Now, we get a lot of stuff from stores and Target, and anything damaged at Target, some of the stores we get. So damaged paper towel rolls and toilet paper. Lindy said, yeah, we have some rolls. I'll give it to you, but don't tell anybody because we don't have enough to give to the people. And this is something that, I mean, when you tell the story and you realize what your life was, she said, ma'am, she told Lindy, and she knows Lindy, I don't have toilet paper, and I use a wash rag to wipe myself, and then I rinse the wash rag out in the toilet afterwards. Mm. And I sat there and said, during my 64 years of life, only a few times I remember not having toilet paper, and that is because I forgot to buy it. Mm. I was never without, but to realize our seniors don't even have that is just alarming and disappointing. Now we do a lot of fundraisers. Believe it or not, we say forget the food. Not that we're overabundance, but we need toilet paper for these people.
What other challenges are you facing right now?
When I say food's always a challenge, it's a challenge for a couple of reasons. Trying to buy it in bulk. A lot of warehouses don't have. We would love to get more and more food to let clients come in, everyone twice a month minimum, but let's try and go once a week. So that's what we'd like to do. But right now, in the last 2-3 years, our finances have been really bad. A lot of our donations that come from the community that pays, you know, we're a business. People have to understand we're a business. You have bills, you got insurance and vehicle expenses. A lot of that money comes from our senior population. And when I say that, they're usually like 68 and older. So what's been happening in the last 3-4 years is they're moving or they're passing away. So our finances have dropped drastically, and they're at the point now we're in a serious crisis. And I don't like people to know this, but I want to share it with you. As of last year, I gave up my salary as a director. I volunteer my time, and not that I'm rich, but my wife and I decided, do we continue to take a pay and then shut the pantry down, which would have been probably in March or April of last year, or give up our salary, my salary, and see what happens. Well, right now we're hanging in there. So we've been going on for another year, about a year, year and a month. So it's finances. And the people who have most of the money are that middle class of like 30 to 55. The challenge is they're the people we're serving. Mm-hmm. Although we serve all ages, they're the ones that either don't have the money, they're struggling, or they don't have the comprehension or understanding of what it is to give to places like us. And we're not the only pantry and nonprofit out there. So money is a crisis for us right now. And we're just praying. I'll continue to run the pantry as long as I can go. But we're just praying that we can keep this open another 30, 40, 50 years.
What are your biggest needs?
Well, when it comes, we got the money, okay, and then we've got the food. Now, volunteers is also a need for us. During COVID, when COVID first came out, we were literally down to me, Lindy, my operations manager, and 3 volunteers. Mm-hmm. All the seniors that volunteered panicked because of this COVID. Mm-hmm. So we went for many, many months with 5-6 people. Now we're up to about 30 a month that come and go. And we used to have 95 volunteers in a month come and go. So it's always food, it's always money, and it's volunteers.
What kind of donations of food would you like to receive?
Anything non-perishable. If you live local and you can do perishable and deliver it to us without the cold stuff getting like defrosted or stuff, we can do that. We have a list on our website that has the staple food. Now, I like to share about the staple food because I've had some doctors come and volunteer with us. And one of them afterwards, who actually was my doctor, said he couldn't volunteer anymore because the food we serve is not healthy. Now, it's food we all buy every day in the stores, but he's a health nut. So to see all the sodium and the carbs and stuff. But what I had to explain to him, we're not feeding people who need food. We're feeding very, very poor people that just need something to put in their belly. So soups, cereals, canned goods, boxed goods, you know, peanut butter, spaghetti and stuff. Just a lot of this food is what a lot of pantries give out. We would love to get diabetic food for our seniors, and we'd love to get healthier food, but right now, I just want to get food to feed the people.
How can someone get involved with Valley Community Pantry?
Okay, so we have social media, Facebook and Instagram, which is Valley Community Pantry. We have our website, which is cpcares.org, or they can call us. Now, we don't always answer the phone because we're so busy, but they can call and leave a message, and all that information's on the website. Here's what I tell people when I meet with groups, I meet with rich people, poor people. I'm not always there to ask you personally for money. For example, this radio station, I didn't come and ask you for money, but how can you help us to reach people that I can't reach? The further you go to, I always tell people, you may not be able to give food, donate, or volunteer, but we all know people. We all have what we call that circle of influence. That's what we need. We need people to understand. Half of our valley, which is a lot of new residents, don't even know who we are, and we've been there 60 years. We do the best we can to advertise, but they just, you know, they don't understand that stuff. And a quick story, I ran into a church that I spoke at. The lady came up, says she can't help, but her next door neighbor is warehouse manager for Post Cereal. He called me. I went down and visited him in Redlands. They had a 500,000 square foot warehouse with pallets literally stacked 30 feet high. We got over 70,000 boxes of cereal over the next 2-3 years at that time. Unfortunately, they consolidated all their warehouses into the Midwest. But this is what I'm saying. I spoke with this lady. You reach a lot of people that just might pop in their head, oh my gosh, I can help with this, this or that. And that's what we need. We need partnerships. We need support where we all can help one another.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been speaking with Jim Leinberger, Executive Director for Valley Community Pantry. Anything else you want us to know?
I always share when I talk to people, we're not the only group out there. When I go to places, a lot of your senior parks and stuff, or individuals, they say, I hope this agency and that. And then I tell them, stay with them. I don't want your support. I don't want them to leave other agencies to come to us. I always want people, give to your church, whatever it may be, give to that other agent. But when you have that little bit extra of food or volunteer time or money, think of us. I don't want any other agency to suffer, so I don't want to steal from them. A lot of businesses we pick up daily in the local Hemet San Jacinto area. We receive or pick up 750,000 pounds of food a year. Now, that may seem a lot, but again, we're not feeding people very much. Some of your other bigger cities that have money in that city are picking up 1.5 million pounds of food. And then we pick up about $500,000 worth of warehouse items, all household items that we give out. I don't turn anything away. We gave over, this is funny, bidets, the toilet cleaner, the bidets, gave out 700 of them. We gave out silverware trays, blankets, anything that a warehouse to donate, I give because our clients cannot afford any of this stuff. And the last thing I'd like to end with is the population that we serve. The residents at the pantry out in Temecula make about $35,000 to $37,000 on the average. Murrieta is $34,000 to $35,000. Sun City, which is also Menifee, is around $32,000 to $34,000 a year. These are pantries that I partner with. That's what their clients come. Now, keep in mind, a client can be no money to the working poor. Our annual income for our 14,700 families that we have registered is $13,700 a year. Mm. Huge difference. Huge difference. So that's why if a warehouse says, I got blankets, I got hats, I got underwear, whatever it is, I will pick it up and give it out because you never know what these people need.
Tell us again how we can get more information about Valley Community Pantry.
We want you to visit our social media. We've got a couple people on the board that do a lot of that. I don't do much of it. I'm not a fan of it. It's just not my cup of tea. So Valley Community Pantry on Instagram or Facebook. Our website, we try to update all the time. That's vcpcares.org. You can call us. It's not always the best way. And you know what we do? We're there from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Friday. I love when people come down. When people come down and ask for a tour, as you guys may come down here, It just blows them away on what we're doing in such a small area and how we can utilize the space that we have. I love people to come down and see what we're about, that we're real and that we're honest and that we're fair and that we're helping people in need. That's the main thing. If you want to come down, you can call me. If you don't mind, I'll give you my cell phone. It's 951-816-5443. Call me. Email me at director@vcpcares.org. I'd love to come down. I love to talk. I love to share stories. It's all true. These stories originated from when I was a kid till now. This is why I do what I do. And again, I do this for free now. And it's time for me to give back to those in need.
Thank you so much for coming in to speak with us today. The KFrog Air staff is looking forward to seeing your facility in a couple weeks. And thank you for making a difference in our community.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the time.